Good morning, everyone, and certainly glad you're here this morning and able to be with us in person. If you're here in the building with us today, we're glad you're feeling okay to be here for that. For those of you who are listening to us by way of live stream, we're glad you're able to be there as well. I do have to apologize for last week's live stream. We had some issues with the sound system, and I had some issues with my speed. And I don't mean that I'm taking speed, I just mean I get pretty fast when I'm preaching. And so I need you folks to do something for me this morning. If I start speaking too quickly for everybody to hear, if you would just kind of give me a signal, let me know that I'm talking too fast, and I'll try to slow down again. It's a combination, I think, of just being out of sorts with the COVID virus and everything that we're having to learn that's different, and also then just pain that I'm feeling with the hip situation that I've got right now. So just help me to slow down and speak more clearly. I try to concentrate on it, but I get caught up in what I'm doing and saying, and I forget to pay attention to my speed and modulate my speed. So if y'all can help me do that, we're going to be in a lot better shape this morning. We fixed the sound system issues with the new computer, and so I think that's all ready to go now, and I hope that you're having a good experience at home with the sound system this morning, with the live stream. So let's go on with our lesson this morning. We're 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. We're actually not going to finish up chapter 3 this morning, but we're going to get most of chapter 3 done, and then next week we're going to actually look at just verse 16 and 17 by itself as we're continuing on the thoughts of this letter. But so far, let's go back to see what we've looked at so far in our letter. We are holy people called to a holy calling to defend the faith against false teachers. That's probably the main idea of the book of 2 Timothy, that we must defend the faith against false teachers at all costs. And we see that all that we are and will be is in Jesus Christ. He is the center of our life, and we covered a lesson talking about that. Then we looked at, in order for us to defend the gospel, we must be good students of the gospel. We must be workmen who do not need to be ashamed of the gospel that we're preaching, and we don't need to be ashamed of our own knowledge of that gospel. We need to be well prepared to preach and teach the truth. And we saw that if we accurately handle God's word, we become vessels of honor that are useful to Him, and we're able to do the best that we can for our God and our Father. We then also saw that we have to flee from youthful lusts and instead pursue faith, love, and righteousness, along with all those who are seeking God. So we want to be people of righteousness rather than people of lustfulness, and so we're trying to live our lives that way. We also saw that we must also exhibit extreme patience and kindness and gentleness when teaching those who are in need of the truth. We don't want to be guilty of being harsh folks. We want to be responsible with the gospel message so that as we preach and teach to other people, we preach and teach the truth in such a way that we can show our love and our patience and our kindness and our gentleness for teaching those who are in need of the truth. We also found that we live in difficult times where the church has been deeply divided. With false gospels being taught everywhere, the gospel is very deeply hurt this morning. Different places are teaching different things that are not even the truth. So it's our ambition to always be those who teach the truth and only the truth. That's the second really prominent subject matter that we'll find in this letter. That we need to be people who are ready to study and learn so that we can show ourselves approved. The foolishness of false teachers we learned last week will become apparent if we properly judge their teaching and the fruit that they produce. We looked especially at Jannes and Jambres last week, those magicians who were standing up against Moses and presenting the false doctrine for a while that they were doing as they were trying to keep up with God who was bringing plagues against Egypt. They didn't manage very well. They managed for a while. But then, of course, by the time they got to about the third or the fourth plague, they were out of their element. They could no longer preach, or they could no longer produce the signs that God was producing. And so they were proven to be very false and very, very foolish false teachers. In the same way, we just need to watch those folks that are preaching and teaching among us today, make sure that what they're saying becomes the truth. There is always the truth. We need to understand the truth so well ourselves that we can make sure that as they are preaching and teaching, they're only preaching and teaching the truth. Something I've asked you folks to help me to do all the time, if I ever say anything that you can't prove or show from Scripture, please bring that to my attention, and I will either correct it or I will prove it to be the truth, whichever I need to do. This morning we're going to move forward in our thoughts, and we're going to look at this time. Paul will talk about following him as he followed Christ Jesus. He's going to give that instruction to Timothy. He's going to say that Timothy followed him all these good things, and because of that, it's going to make him a person who's going to receive a lot of difficult times and persecutions as well. So it's very important for us as we preach and teach the truth, as we live godly, we need to realize that we're eventually going to face some difficult times, and we need to remember our Christian character even more when we find that to be truth. Everyone who lives godly will be persecuted to one degree or another. Every single person will be persecuted to one degree or another. Deception, because of its very nature, will go deeper and deeper, and the deeper the deception goes, the more intense it becomes. And then finally, God's Word will keep us useful to Him. So we want to look this morning at several things, and we're going to return, of course, to our main message, and that is we need to understand the Word of God in order for us to preach it and teach it accurately. Let's go on to our text this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, if you would follow along as I read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Folks, we're going to look at verse 16 and 17 alone next week, Lord willing, and if he doesn't come back, it takes us all to be with him in the meantime. But this morning, we're going to cover all these verses and take a look at least at the premise that Paul is presenting. And that is that you've gotten some great things, Timothy, from me. Make sure you live those things and do those things. And because of that, you're also going to face a lot of persecution. So let's start, first of all, by looking at seven great things that Timothy got from Paul. As Timothy was looking to Paul's example, he received several things, seven of them that Paul will mention here, that Timothy receives by watching and following Paul as Paul followed Christ Jesus and did what Christ wanted him to do. So let's start with the teaching. He got the teaching from Paul. His teaching was almost exclusively from Paul. And Paul's doctrine was very pure. It was unadulterated gospel. Everything that Paul preached was truth. I know there's some folks these days that will say that Paul gave us a lot of his own opinions, but he did not. Even as he was giving opinions that were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And so as he preaches, he's preaching and teaching only the truth and what the Holy Spirit told him to preach. So we see that to be true. His doctrine is unadulterated and is pure, and Timothy received that teaching. Paul reminds him to hold on to that teaching. Then we see his conduct. Paul's conduct was Christ-centered and above reproach. No one could actually find anything bad to say about Paul, though many tried. Nothing would stick. He certainly preached only the truth, and because he preached only the truth and lived what he preached, he had a lifestyle and a conduct that was above reproach. Then we see that he received his purpose from Paul. Paul's purpose, again, was clear and concise. Paul said at one point, "Everything I preach everywhere I go is Christ Jesus and Him crucified." That was certainly the center of Paul's life. His purpose was clear. He was here to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He was here to live a life that demonstrated he believed the truth of that he was preparing himself for heaven. And so we find that Paul's purpose was clear and concise, and Timothy received that purpose. Paul next tells him to depend on his faith. He received his faith from Paul. Paul's faith was built upon decades of walking with Christ. His faith was so extremely strong, he could not have been twisted if anybody had tried. Paul was so secure in his faith, he knew what Christ Jesus wanted of him, he knew what he believed, he knew why he believed it, and so he preached and taught that truth at all times. So we find that he tells Timothy, "You've also seen my faith, so live that faith as well." Then finally, or next he says, "You've seen my patience," a patience that had been strengthened by the things that Paul had suffered. Paul suffered so many things at the hands of the Gentiles and at the hands of his own fellow Jews. As he suffered those things, He grew in patience. He learned to be patient we would probably say to a fault, but it certainly was not to a fault. We're supposed to be very patient people. So Paul learned his patience, and he tells Timothy, "Follow my patience," and look to that as well. And then he told him that he received his love. He participated in his love. Just as Christ had loved Paul, Paul loved other folks. Just as Christ loves us, we need to love other folks. He says to Timothy, "As Christ loved you, you need to love other folks with that unearned and unanticipated, but that marvelous grace, love that God gave to us, we need to share that with other folks in the world." And then finally, he says, "You received from me my perseverance." Never stop walking in the light. Never stop walking in the light as Christ Jesus is in the light. We might be tempted from time to time to take a vacation from the truth. We should never do so. We need to always persevere in the faith, and if we do so, then we will be seen to be people that are not hypocritical, but rather we're truthful in our teaching and our preaching. If we're living our faith, if we're walking our faith, if we're talking our faith, if we are persevering in our faith, then folks will see that we're different from the norm, and we won't ever have to apologize for anything because we'll always be teaching and preaching only those things that are truth. So those are the seven things that Timothy got from Paul. Paul reminds him of at this point in time, and he says you need to live those things as well. But the result of that is a couple of negative things as well. If we do what Paul did, and if we follow Paul, then we're going to probably inherit from the world the same things that Paul inherited, two negative results, and that is persecutions and sufferings. In fact, Paul will go so far as in verse 12 of this passage this morning to say, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's as confident as you can be that something's going to happen. You will be persecuted if you walk with Christ. Now, you may not have experienced too much persecution right now, but I dare say that every one of you has been treated differently by the world from time to time because you are a Christian. You've been looked down upon, or you've been avoided by folks, or you've been talked about behind your back, or something has happened because you decide to live according to the will of God. Every single person somehow, some way, sometime in their life will be persecuted for the cause of Christ if, in fact, you're living according to the will of God. So Paul says to Timothy, you will inherit as well persecutions and sufferings from me. You saw them. And you saw them especially at certain places in my walk with you. As Paul was walking with Christ and Timothy was walking with Paul, Timothy got to see Paul in some of the worst times of his life, including the three things that Paul talks about, the three events that Paul speaks of next, when he was caused to suffer at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. And we're going to take a look for just a moment. If you'll turn your Bibles back to the book of Acts, turn your Bibles back to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Look at verses 44 and 45, then drop down to verse 50 and 51 as we look at what happened to Paul at Antioch. Now, there's a couple of different Antiochs, so don't get confused. Antioch in Syria was the Antioch that was sending Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journeys. Paul's not being persecuted there. This is Antioch in Pisidia, or known as Pisidian Antioch, and this is where Paul is in almost in Asia Minor area, and he's going to begin to receive some persecutions for his faith there. So look at Antioch of Pisidia in Acts chapter 13, verse 44 and 45. 50 and 51. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. Now, Paul got to preach 1 week for free. Nobody persecuted him the first week. Second week, he preaches, and he doesn't get to preach for free any longer. The whole city was assembled to hear the word of the Lord, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Now, the Jews hated blasphemy, but they would blaspheme if it suited their purpose. So they're blaspheming, and they're calling Paul names, and they're making fun of Paul's doctrine, contradicting everything that he says, trying to make him look like a fool so that he will stop preaching and sit down. Paul does not quit preaching. He continues to preach. And so the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook the dust of their feet off in protest against them as they went to Iconium. So Paul and Barnabas leave, and Timothy and everybody else that was a part of that party, leave Antioch and head to Iconium, thinking possibly they'll receive a better reception there than they did at Antioch. At Iconium, which you find in chapter 14, the next chapter over, chapter 14, verse 2, and then verse 4 through 6, we'll encapsulate it slightly. Starting verse 2, but the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. So again, we see the same problem. The Jews are the problem against Paul. His own people are causing trouble for him more than the Gentiles are, but they're stirring up the Gentiles against him. Look at verse 4. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. So the gospel is doing its work. Some folks are going to believe and some folks are going to disbelieve. If only the folks who disbelieved would leave everybody alone, but they won't. Those who disbelieved stir up trouble for everybody else. So some side with the Jews and some side with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe and the surrounding region. So they leave again, they leave Iconium, and this time they head to Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and they go into the surrounding region, they're preaching as they have opportunity. But bad times follow sometimes from one place to the next, and certainly it happens here again. As word gets out that Paul is going across country to preach, those who were in the places before decide to go forward as well and find him again. So he goes to Lystra in Acts chapter 14, verse 19 through 20. And look what happens there. The Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, a place where they already had trouble and they fled. And now the trouble's going to find them. Having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, folks, they stoned him so badly, they thought they killed him, and they dragged him out, thinking he was dead, and threw him on the side of the road outside of the town. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, he gets up the next day and travels, even though he's been stoned practically to death, and they thought he was dead. I can't help but believe that God is helping him in this situation. That's what Paul is going to make the point to Timothy of, is that God helped him in all these things. God delivered him from each and every one of those encounters until God's will was done. Now, folks, I'm not going to say that God will not allow you to be hurt and that God will not allow you to be killed sometimes for the cause of the gospel. But I will say that until God's done with you, He will protect you and take care of you. Now, the real trouble for us is we don't know when God is done with us, but just live your life as though you don't care, all right? Live your life that in any way that you can serve God, you're going to serve God, so that as you're serving God, as you're living for God, as you're living for Christ, other folks may persecute you, they may turn you away, they may turn their backs on you, you may lose some friends over Christ, but do that if that's what's right, because what's right is what you need to be doing. Paul makes that clear, and God will deliver you, and he'll take care of the rest of it for you. So as we're living this life of Christianity, as we're living the life for God, God will deliver us from each and every encounter that we have that's negative. He'll deliver us and bring us back to the faith if we need to be brought back to faith, but he'll make sure that we continue to preach and teach until such time as he's done with us and takes us home to be with him. Our primary idea, our primary attitude, our primary ambition in this life is to live for Christ Jesus and to always preach him. And we want to eventually make it to heaven. That's our main point. That's the main thing that we're living for. But in the meantime, those folks around us who are preaching deception will proceed from bad to worse. And Paul wants Timothy to realize that. I put the Greek up there for you. I'm not even going to try this morning to pronounce it because I'll mess it up if I do. But the idea is, as Paul says, those who are teaching these false things are going to proceed from bad to worse. Bad men, evil men and imposters proceed from bad to worse. The phrase there means that they're going to drive forward upon the most evil that they can find, all right? That's literally what the Greek says. They're going to drive forward on that most evil, all right? So basically he says they're going to start with evil and they're going to drive it forward and they're going to force it forward until it becomes more and more evil until they finally get the worst and 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 the worst until they finally get as bad as they can possibly get. That's what Paul wants Timothy to understand. You think worse is the worst, but it can actually get more worse than that, Paul is saying, so just don't let that throw you. Don't let it throw you that people are going to not want to hear what you have to say. They're going to turn their backs on you and leave you or even possibly physically abuse you for preaching and teaching the truth. Even though we in this country are protected to a degree from such persecution, we know that when crowds and mobs get started, they can do whatever they pretty much want to for a while. So if a mob ever formed over us, we would be hard-pressed to take care of that on our own. In other places in this world, Christians are routinely abused and misused and mistreated for the gospel, and yet they continue on in those places as well. Deception built upon deception does that. It goes from bad to worse to worse to worse. Deception built upon deception does that because deception starts off, and then as you add deception to the deception, it just proceeds to bad to worse. Trusting deceivers leads to greater deception. It just happens that way, and Paul's speaking absolute truth when he says that. I'll give you an illustration, and I'm going to use a strange illustration this morning, but I just started thinking about how a person gets their ears and have an ear tunnel in them. All right, have you all ever watched that process? All right. Do you know what an ear tunnel is? Maybe I can use that. This guy's got an ear tunnel. You see it right there, the little earring thing right there? That's an ear tunnel. I don't know why people want to do this to themselves, but if you do, that's your problem. That's your business, not mine. I said problem, but it's not. That's your business. If you want an ear tunnel, that's your business. But the way you get an ear tunnel in your ear is you start with a little tiny ear tunnel. You stick that in your ear, and then you let your ear heal up, and then you take it out, and you put a slightly bigger one, and then you let that grow, and then when it heals, you take that out. Put in a third one, and you put it in and let it grow and so on until finally you get to the size of that guy's, and they can even get bigger than that. They get bigger and bigger and bigger until finally you've got your earlobe stretched to just enormous proportions, and you wouldn't think that it would make that much difference, but it does. And it happens slowly over time. Deceivers can change much truth over time. They can make big old holes in your doctrine over time. And so we have to be able to defend the truth against those folks that would take their slow, sweet time about changing the truth and making it their own. How do we defend against slow evil? How do you defend against that? Well, Paul will talk to Timothy about that as well. He says the first thing you have to do is you have to stick to what you know and you can prove to be the truth, all right? That only works, however, if you trust the person that you received the truth from in the first place. If you have absolute faith in the person that taught you the truth and you know that they're teaching you the truth, then you can stand up for whatever you need to stand up for. But you got to be sure that what you're believing is the truth and not anything else. So we have to be careful about who we gather to ourselves as teachers. You can't just listen to anybody and expect that you're going to receive the truth. I state that especially in these days and times when we receive so much of our doctrine off of the internet where you don't actually know the people sometimes that you're receiving the truth from. I've found folks in the church listening to preachers from denominations that are teaching and preaching things that are absolutely false, but they preach it with such confidence that our own members are hard-pressed to disprove it because they don't know how to disprove it. We have to be cautious about that. Paul spoke the truth. Timothy learned from Paul. Timothy could trust what Paul said, everything Paul said, because Paul was receiving it directly from Jesus Christ, so he knew that. We don't have that luxury, so we need something else. We need to continue in the things that we've learned through the Scripture. That's what we're going to press as we continue on. For Timothy, though, Paul says to him in verse 14, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you learned them." Now, Timothy has several sources. We'll cover those in just a moment. But the primary source he has is what Paul goes to next, and that is he had the Scripture. He had the Scripture. Verses 16 to 17 really tie this all together for us really nicely as to what our source is for the truth. If you have the Scripture and you understand the Scripture, if you can read the Bible and understand it, then you've got the truth you need for every source, for every trouble that might come your way. You've got the source that you need to defend yourself against that falsehood. So we have verse 16 and verse 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Every good work means every good work. There's nothing you'll be lacking if you have the gospel and you understand the gospel message. If you have the Scriptures and you understand the Scriptures, you have everything you need. We must continually return to the Word of God, test everything that we think we know. Everything we think we know needs to be proven again and again. If you think something's right just because you heard it, then you got to go back to the Scripture and test it and make sure that it's right, all right? So we need to make sure of that, because I'm going to show you in just a moment that the Bible has been severely twisted many times in our history by good people, even in the churches of Christ, who have twisted that Scripture. At one time, for example, the Bible was used to defend slavery in America. That was happening in the churches of Christ. People were using the Bible to try to defend slavery in the South during the time that slavery was still in effect. Later on, in the last 50 years the Bible has been used to defend segregation in the church. By well-meaning preachers in churches of Christ who wanted to defend segregation, they have done so to their own harm and to the harm of the Scripture of the church, because today we still have a brotherhood between black and white churches, especially. We defended that through different means that we use, but in the earlier days, they actually used the Bible to try to defend segregation. Folks have used the Bible in recent years to defend the idea that women are inferior to men and should be kept in their place. And that's not such a recent teaching, or that's not such a far back teaching. That's a recent teaching. I've encountered that even to this day in some churches, where, especially small little country churches, where women are kept in their place by the Scripture because men want to keep them there. We have seen the Bible used in the last 100 years and probably the last 75 years and even the last 50 and 60 years in my lifetime. We've seen the Bible taught in such a way that people try to defend that black people are cursed forever by the sins of Noah's son Ham, when Ham committed a sin against him, which is probably actually Canaan, his grandson, and not Ham himself, but that's another lesson for another day. In the meantime, they've used that to say that black folks can never be equal to white folks because they are cursed forever by the curse of Ham. That, of course, is false doctrine and not even true. They use the Bible to teach that all Christians can speak in tongues today. That's one of the greatest lessons that the folks that are Pentecostals try to teach. It's that if you can't speak in tongues, you don't know if you're a Christian. So everybody tries to speak in tongues. So everybody's up there jabbering at one another, saying things that aren't even real, because they want to be so sure that they're Christians. But the Bible never teaches that every person that is saved can speak in tongues. In fact, none of us can speak in tongues, because that gift has passed for a long time ago. And the next thing that they teach is that once a person is saved, he cannot lose his salvation, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Bible is often twisted and misused by folks that are well-meaning, but ignorant of the real truth of the gospel. We must not be those ignorant people. We must work as hard as we can to make sure that we understand the truth and preach and teach only the truth. I feel like I'm getting too fast, so I'm slow down a little bit, okay? Is that okay with everybody? Nobody's raising their hands, but I think I'm getting too fast. All right. Used properly, those Scripture will equip us well. For Scripture to equip us properly, we must use them properly. We must use the Word of God in a proper way, the Scriptures in a proper way. So we come full circle now from Paul and Timothy. We come full circle to where Paul is trying to bring Timothy. You've seen my gospel. You've seen me live it. You've read the gospel. You understand it. So stick with it and stay with it, all right? So we need those two things. We need examples that are living godly lives. And we also need to read and understand the Scripture ourselves. That places a tremendous responsibility on us as Christians to be what we need to be. Timothy had an accurate upbringing in the Word of God, beginning with his mother and his grandmother. Lois and Eunice taught him well the Scriptures, and then he signed up with Paul to teach the gospel with Paul, and he heard Paul as he preached the gospel of Christ and preached the Word of God. Timothy learned all those things, so Paul says you've got an accurate upbringing, you need to hang on to that. He needed to hold on to that training and continue to grow, and so do each one of us today. We need to continue to grow in that gospel. The only way that we can do that, folks, is to never stop learning. So I'm going to offer an invitation at this period of time, invitation to you. Never stop learning and challenging yourself in the Word of God. Never. Never do that. Never reach the point where you think you know it all, where you think you already understand it all, because I find every day that I'm learning new things that I never thought before. I'm testing those things. I'm trying to make sure they're really truth. But I'm learning so much, even in the last few years, in the last few months, learning a lot of stuff that I never even knew before. Never stop reading, meditating upon, and maturing in the Word of God and in your faith. Never stop, folks. Every day we need to be challenging ourselves from the Word of God to learn it, to grow in it, to mature in it, so that we can be the people of God that God wants us to be, so that we can be those workmen of God who never need to be ashamed because we are accurately handling the Word of truth. I would hate for anybody to go to hell because I taught them a false doctrine. I would hate to think about that. I hope that it's never happened, and I hope it never will. If it ever does, I hope somebody will bring it to my attention so I can correct my teaching and preaching. Then we're going to extend the invitation this morning to those who might need the prayers of the church. We stand here in need of prayer all the time. We will pray for you and with you if that's your special need right now. Let us know that. If you're here in the building with us, then you can just come forward in just a moment when we begin to sing the song. One of our elders will meet you up front here, and we'll take your prayer request, and we'll present that before the congregation. If you're listening to us live stream, please do either write in the chat if you got that available, or send a message to us or call us on the telephone number that you'll find at our website. Whatever you do, just let us know what your needs are, and we'll pray for you in behalf of your needs. And the last thing that we want to do is want to offer the gospel for anybody who needs to receive the gospel and be saved. If you need to repent and confess and be baptized, we're ready to help you with that today. If you've heard the gospel, you understand that you need to be saved because you're lost, then we're ready to help you find that path today. Do whatever we can. If you're here again in this building, just come forward and let that be known at this time. If you need to write to us and let us know that from outside, we'll do as best we can to get to you as quickly as possible so that you can receive that gospel message. The gospel is so important to your life. It's so important to every one of us. Without the gospel, we have no faith. Without faith, we have no God. Without God, we have no hope for eternity. Without eternity, we have only eternity in hell to look forward to. So make sure we don't let that happen to us. Let's handle accurately the Word of God. Let's live as best we can. Let's live like we should every day, challenging ourselves in the Word of God so we can be the people of God that God wants us to be. If you have any needs, whatever they are, won't you let us know at this time as we stand and sing the selected song.